If you're at the stage on your fertility journey where you're falling down the Dr. Google rabbit hole every day, or maybe you're a part of several Facebook groups and you're trying to get the most fertility information possible, or perhaps you've begun treatments and your first cycle of IVF hasn't been successful. Well, no matter what stage you're at, on today's episode, I will share the five things that everyone dealing with infertility needs to know about. Things that I certainly wish I'd known about years ago. These are going to help you avoid confusion and know exactly what your next steps will be. All of that is coming up on today's episode of Your Journey to Fertility. Welcome to Your Journey to Fertility. This is the podcast that blends science with spirit to give you all the tools you need as you navigate your fertility journey. I'm your host, Jennifer Edmonds, and for the last 15 years, I've been helping women on their journeys to motherhood and beyond. I believe that combining the latest scientific research along with the best energetic and mindset practices will help you to avoid putting your life on hold and bring you closer to your baby. Each week, you'll learn ways to support your fertility and trust your body so that you can stop stressing that you'll never have your baby and finally walk your path to motherhood. This is the Your Journey to Fertility podcast. Welcome back to today's episode on the podcast. And we are talking about the biggest things that you need to know if you're currently trying to conceive. Now, in order to prep for this episode today, I've asked a lot of my students, colleagues, and other professionals in this space what advice they would give. And these were the top five responses. At the height of my own fertility journey, I was wasting so much time on the internet. Gosh, I was Googling symptoms, what new treatments were available. I was getting information and opinions from, you know, women all around the world who had been through their own treatment journeys. And, you know, it is an endless and deep, deep rabbit hole to fall down. I wondered why each cycle and each fertility treatment hadn't been successful. Like, you name it, I was obsessing over it. But I really found that all of that got away of what was really important. So that is what we are here to talk about today. We are bringing it right back to basics. So, okay, number one, first of all, we need to talk about Dr. Google and Facebook groups. And getting your information from other people who are dealing with infertility on social media. And don't get me wrong, I think there is a time and a place for all of these outlets. Certainly, they help us to feel a lot less alone. They validate what we're going through. And there is so much value in that. But what the professionals I've spoken to keep repeating is this. If you're getting your information and you're cross-checking your treatment plan with the internet and not your doctor, then it's time to find another doctor. The best question to ask your doctor, if you are seeing something on the internet and you know you have a suspicion that it might work for you, make a time to speak with them and ask them, is there a reason I shouldn't have this treatment or try this procedure or whatever it is that you are Googling? Give your doctor a chance to respond. I find that, you know, going into your doctor's office with a list of questions and, you know, just saying, I want to try this, I want to try that, what about this? You know, it sort of sets you up for yes and no answers. But if you can go in and ask them to explain why they shouldn't or why you wouldn't consider some of these options, it gives your doctor a chance to really think about their response. And perhaps some of the time it is worthwhile considering. So it is definitely something worth bringing up. Okay, number two, this one came up a lot. Men are 50% of the equation. So often overlooked. I have students that come to me who are 99% female and they are taking 25 different supplements a day. They've given up alcohol, caffeine, sugar, dairy, you name it. They have literally turned their lives upside down. Yet their partners either haven't been thoroughly tested or their results have come back within a normal range and they've left it at that. They haven't made any changes. They've continued to go out drinking. They've been eating takeaways and in some cases continue to smoke or vape. But we forget that it is just as valuable to focus on sperm quality as it is on egg quality. All the changes that you make, I believe your partner should be making with you, especially when you're prepping for something like an IVF cycle, where there is a short window of time to make an incredible difference. Number three, and this is something that I didn't want to hear when I was going through fertility treatments, and it is something that is very hard to learn. But the first round of treatment in an IVF cycle is often a diagnostic test. And no, that isn't what we want to hear. But on the flip side, it can actually give you so many clues to what's going on with your fertility. And especially if you're one of those people or couples who sit in that unexplained category. So you're looking at things like, do your eggs fertilize? Do they stop growing at a certain point once they become embryos? Do those embryos make it to day five? Is the problem implantation? And as much as we want IVF to work the first time and every time, the knowledge the cycle can give you is actually invaluable. But, and I found this, it's just not something a doctor will discuss with you beforehand. You know, fertility clinics are quick to advertise their success rates and, you know, give you an idea of how many eggs you're likely to collect and what your fertilization rates will be. They don't tell you that there is no way to know how your body is going to respond to treatments until you start those treatments. We can always take a very well-educated guess, and obviously your doctor will have taken many tests beforehand and they will prescribe your medication protocol accordingly, but there isn't any way to tell. You know, for someone who started IVF when I was 35, I was on paper perfectly healthy. I didn't have any major red flags. I should have responded well to the medication, but I was an incredibly poor responder. And that's just something that we have to learn the long way, unfortunately. All right, number four. This is something I talk about a lot. It is most of my work, but you know, there is actually so much that you can do to improve your chances of trying to conceive. You don't have to put all of your power into the hands of the medical world. Now, don't get me wrong, fertility doctors are incredible. They are so knowledgeable and obviously so needed on this journey, but they're trained very specifically, usually within the parameters of medication and surgery. And they've only ever got 20-minute time slots, you know, when you go in to speak with them. But then let's think a little bit deeper. And, you know, this is where you can go into things like fertility nutrition, how different supplements can assist you, learning about your menstrual cycle and whether it's optimal for trying to conceive. You know, there is so much that your menstrual cycle will tell you. For example, do you get PMS? Are you ovulating regularly? Do you have a short luteal phase? Do you have painful periods? Do you ovulate early or late in your cycle? All of this is incredibly valuable information to learn, and it tells you a lot about what is specifically going on within your body. And while doctors will touch on your menstrual cycle, really their end game is to get you a baby. So they're going to use the tools that they have at their disposal, which are, like I said, medications and surgery. But there is a lot that you can learn from going to an expert who specializes in that field and natural fertility treatments. And thankfully, we're at a time where technology can connect us with so many experts in this field. You know, listening to podcasts such as this will offer you a range of other professionals that you can speak to and connect with. All right, last but not least, number five, you can't overlook the impact of stress. Now, please don't get me wrong. Stress is not a cause of infertility. But my goodness, it can really start to make things challenging, not just for your fertility, but for your overall health and just your well-being. But there is actually a lot that you can help to alleviate this. Things that we think are healthy but are actually contributing to stress levels are things like working out when you have your period, going to F45 or doing a high-intensity gym session every day of your cycle, not eating enough, eating too much, or eating too many of the foods that aren't great for you. Knowing that, you know, a salad for lunch doesn't really cut it. It might seem healthy, but your body is craving a lot more than that a lot of the time. If you're getting up early even though you haven't had a lot of sleep and you're going to the gym because that's the only time you've got available to work out, or maybe you're going to the gym late after work, you know, into the evenings, because again, that's the only time you have available. Going to lots of different social commitments and, you know, overcommitting yourself and running around on your weekends. All of these things add to the already overflowing cup of stress hormones present within your body. And that's where so many of the practices that I teach can start to help you. I love being able to teach people about living alongside your cycle, you know, recognizing what your body and what your hormones need at each phase. There is so much power in that. Recognizing when your stress and your cortisol levels are high is a really, really powerful thing to be able to recognize as well. And learning some tools to bring into that and support your journey, and not just your fertility, but your overall health and your mental well-being, as I said, it makes such a difference long term. So I hope that this episode has given you a few things to think about, and to think about perhaps a little differently as well. Now, if you would like to take the next step on your fertility journey and start putting into practice so many of the things that we've spoken about today, I'm so excited to tell you once again that the waitlist for the In Your Element Fertility Yoga Program is now open. I will pop a link to the waitlist in the show notes. This is my signature program and I open it up just once a year. It is a way to go deep into all of the most incredible practices, the most wonderful mind-body tools that we have in order to support your fertility, to help synchronize your hormones, live alongside your cycle, and support your fertility naturally. There is so much included within this program. And if you want to learn more, pop your name down and your email address onto the waitlist, and I will send through to you lots more information. It has been great to have you back with me today. And if you found this episode helpful, please be sure to leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And that'll help me get this message out to as many people as possible. Now, on the next episode, I will be going through something that I am super passionate about. And it's something that I share with all of my students. And this is the one mistake that we tend to make that affects our chances of falling pregnant. It's something that I wish I had learned years earlier on my own fertility journey, and it continues to have an impact on my life today. So can't wait to see you back here for that. In the meantime, I am sending you all my love as you continue your own journey to fertility.